Yes, indeedy. The great Tim Grunhardt joins us here in the program.
What's up, family?
How are you, buddy?
How you guys doing? I'm doing great. You know, it's the end of a long month of, for all the high school coaches out there and players, it's just, you know, June is a very busy month. You have the 6 a.m. workouts pretty much every day and team camps and jamborees and all those kind of things. So it's coming kind of to an end. Tomorrow is our last one. Miege will be over at Rockhurst with a couple of Mill Valley and some other schools. And so just, you know, just kind of tired, man. Just kind of getting through this month. And then we get a little break over. There's a dead period for all high school sports in the summer. Right. They can't do anything over this 4th of July. And then there's a week in July. We have a little team camp. And then a little bit of a break. And then football starts up again. Hey, 75 days till kickoff for the Chiefs. How about that?
Yeah. That's
right around the corner.
Did you take your shoes off to get that math together? Or, you know, how'd somebody tell you that?
I saw it on Twitter. So I didn't add that up. I didn't wake up this morning and say, you know what? How many days till kickoff? But I did see it, and I was pretty excited.
I don't know if you had a countdown from like last year's season ending that you were then you know, today's one of the mile markers, 75.
Just so. Another year, Saran. Just another year in the proverbial notch in the belt for you and I covering Chiefs seasons.
Yes, that's what it is.
Hopefully, we have a bunch of them more left.
A notch in the belt. I've known that's what I was for you for years.
You are a notch in my belt. Some notches are being brought in. Some are being let out. But there's still a notch in the belt.
Okay, I see where you're going. I see where you're going with that.
Well, sometimes we're fatter than other times.
Yeah, right.
The three guys in here, we've gone up and down the scale.
I haven't had to bring it in for a while. We're at the end of the leather too. There's not another notch to put in this one.
Well, that's what you do when you do have to kind of bring it in, because after a while the belt kind of stretches and you have to poke another hole to get back to where you were when you bought the belt 3 months earlier.
You're not
losing weight. The leather is stretching.
Leather is stretching.
By the way, before I ask this question, I want to point out you guys are both much bigger people, taller guys than me. The airplane seat is like a the airplane seat belt is a that is a this is what you need to do. You know, like at 5'8", you should not be having to, and I have not yet.
Right.
I have not yet.
Right.
You should not have to ask for an extender.
Oh, the day that I ask for an extension, I'm jumping out of that airplane.
I'm not pulling it that far, you know? Like, it's a time.
In my flying career, there has been times when I was a little concerned whether that was going to clip.
Yeah.
When you hear that click, good.
No, I can't breathe.
Dude, I hadn't flown since, you know, spring training of 2020. And I'm like, I don't know where I was weight-wise at that point, but I know it wasn't more than it is now. And I'm like, I'm a little concerned.
Well, you're flying out to
Tahoe, but right? I was in San Diego and L.A. last weekend.
Oh, and you made it.
And that was the first flight. And I was like, okay, I was so thrilled when it clicked. I'm like, you fat bastard. If you can't fit into this thing, I was like, that's still not much slack. You gotta get to work, Tubby.
I shouldn't tell this story.
Oh, you got one too? Okay, go ahead.
I'm not going to say the name of the guy, but I think everybody out there will know who I'm talking about.
They will.
So there was a certain guy that I worked for that he would refuse to ask for the extension, so he'd make us go get the extension for him. Yeah, that's it. And he would say, go and get the extension. Like, excuse me, sir, coach.
Wow.
Go and get the extension. So I would have to walk up to the front and say, hey, can I get one of those extensions from you? And then he would use the extension. And then he'd cover it up with his shirt. And, you know, listen, I feel bad. I mean, you know, people don't want to be fat asses, I guess.
It's
just a lot easier not to be a big fat ass, isn't it?
Trust me, yes. I don't think I've ever been. It's been a long time since I was slim or skinny.
You're not a fat ass.
No,
I mean, there's a difference.
I've been not a fat ass before in my life.
You are not a fat ass.
One of the multiple times that I've lost a considerable amount of weight. Not that it's
I've never seen that.
By now.
You've done. You have been a steady.
No,
you've been like a blue lost, chip stock, just steadily going up since
this
I've
is
known
an absolute
you.
Fact. I've lost 40 pounds four times in my life. Four.
Yeah,
you wouldn't know by now.
Well,
I've gained it right back.
Like 890. Right. Like who notices?
Gained it right back. But one of them was about a decade ago. And I had traveled out to the eastern part of Missouri. I was east of Columbia,
which is a big trip in Curtis's world, by the way.
For a photo shoot,
You were modeling at
that
point.
Swimsuits?
No,
hold on,
was
you were
going
modeling.
To play.
You were modeling at this time.
It was. It was. It, you must have really a reenactment of an historical thing for a TV channel, and I was playing a fat guy, and the clothes they
accurately
got to fit
cast.
Me were too small. I was too small. I lost the part because he didn't have anything else to put me in. I drove back that afternoon. I was too fat to play a fat guy for a TV show, and I thought, I've probably got to do something.
You guys need
and I did, but that's the bottom for me.
You need to be easier on yourselves and each other because Stewie is not following any of you around with a tuba.
Yeah.
So I think you're okay. That's the sign.
Yeah.
That is a sign.
But anyway, so I was happy that, you know, I'm like, it's been a few years. The commitment to exercise has not been top shelf. Enjoyed a lot of food. I'm like, I'm in danger of there being no click. And I was happy it clicked, but I didn't have to tug, you know, too much slack to tighten it up.
I've had a personal trainer now for going on 20 years. Okay, so I should look a lot better than I do. But I will say this. I need somebody to push me. I need somebody to hold me accountable that I have to go or I'm going to pay either way, so you better go. I need somebody to hold me accountable. So let's fast forward it to...
So your cheapness, you're using the fact that you are a tight ass
yes.
to get yourself in
shape.
Well,
I'm not
going to
pay, you know, for not showing up. It's, you know, so I mean, I might as well show up.
I think it's, you know,
right? You guys are you
turning a weakness into a strength, Tim.
So that's right. So... Fast forward to, you know, we could maybe talk a little sports here. Orlando Brown, are you a little concerned that he's going to come back and he's not, his belt is going to need an extension?
Oh, I'm terrified.
I'm very concerned about that.
Terrified.
Because you know what? The history of Orlando not being here and coming in, you know, we saw it a little bit last year. I thought he struggled in the beginning of last year for a couple of reasons. Number one, I thought he struggled because it was a new offense and the pass protection stuff's a little bit different and different technique. But the other thing, he wasn't in shape. So, I mean, you know, and it's hard to get in shape by yourself. I don't care what kind of professional you are. I don't care how much you think that you're working out with personal trainers or doing all those kind of things. There's nothing like being there with a bunch of guys that are pushing you, and you have a strength conditioning coach mm-hmm. on your ass, making sure you're doing things, and you're out here and you're running.
And when you come into those workouts, you got to step on the scale too, right?
Yeah, you have to step on the scale. And the other thing is, I don't know, everybody out there, when you're working on your own, you say, okay, I'm going to do, all right, let's do 3 sets of 10 here. And, you know, you get to about 8. Nah, that was good. Because you just do that. It's just a natural thing. I'm tired.
Well, and if you're doing it on your own, you don't have somebody spotting you. You can't force rep out
and
those last
couple.
And they're
like, hey, dude, finish that rep. Or, hey, listen, it's time to go run gassers. You need to run that gasser under 20 seconds, or else you're going to have to do another one, and you're held accountable. And that's what concerns me a little bit about, you know, Orlando. And, it's, you know, I don't know who else isn't over there now. But obviously nobody's there right now because they're on their break. But that concerns me that he hasn't been around that much this summer, and I'm hoping that I'm rooting for him. I want him to come in shape, but you know, history is about, you know, studying the past so that you don't repeat the present or the future, and that's kind of what's going on here. Is this is going to be repeated again? And I don't know if the Chiefs can afford. You know, I was looking at four of their first 7 games are on the road. And there's in those road games, I don't know if the Chiefs are going to be favored in you know, most of them. I mean, they're going to have to play very, very good quickly. They have 4-7 on the road to start. They got 3 home games. Now, most of the home games are going to be favored. But, you know, they'll probably be favored in the Cardinal game, right, the first game of the year.
Yeah, the only one they won't be favored in – I've seen one. There's one book that has all the spreads for every game in the league right now.
Yeah.
Obviously, those will change as games start getting played. But they have the Chiefs as a dog at the Bucks, home for the Bills, and then was it? There was another at. It wasn't the Cardinals.
Was it at,
I don't think
at,
it was
the
Bengals. There was a stretch where they thought at Bengals, at Broncos. It might have been at Broncos. Coming off and at Bengals before it. It might have been at Broncos. I think it was what.
Well, needless to say, they have one of the toughest schedules in the league, and they're going to have to come out firing on all cylinders. They got a bunch of young guys on the defensive side, and you know, so if I have any concern, you know, listen, I'm not losing any sleep over it. I'm just not. But you know, when the season comes around,
you just
all
don't
of a sudden,
care, Tim.
I'm not losing sleep over it. I care, but I do worry that you know we got some young guys on the defensive side. You know, you got some tough games early in the season. You know, are they going to be able to hold it together? This is going to be an interesting first half of the season for the Kansas City Chiefs. And when if you come in and you're not in shape, and it's hard to get in shape nowadays in training camp. It's hard. That's why they work so hard during the summer, because just the rules and everything that goes on with training camp, it's a lot different than it used to be when you're out there for two and a half hours twice a day in full pads. You get in shape or you drop. They don't do that anymore.
And for him, I mean, it'd be one thing to come into camp out of shape, but it'd be particularly galling after he's wrote the check with
Curtis,
his words 2 weeks ago about you don't want to go into you know the season with the backup left tackle. If you're going to talk publicly in that fashion,
great point,
and put your
great
employer point, over a barrel right. like that and say, that's a shot fired. You better be ready to go on July 28th.
And listen, we're just sitting here talking. I mean, that's what we're doing. Yep. I mean, there's not much going on with the Chiefs. So we're just sitting here talking. Listen, I'm rooting for – I hope Orlando Brown comes and he looks like Superman.
Right.
But with the history, it's just probably not going to happen. And you know what? It's really hard.
Mm-hmm.
It's really hard to train by yourself. Or it's really – I don't care if you have some trainer out there that you're paying. You know, I mean, look at – I've been doing it for 20 years. I still look crappy. All right, so
– Well, Tim, stop. First of all,
well,
you're like the before guy in a weight loss ad that I wished I was.
Well,
so he's after guy.
He's yeah.
But what I'm saying, it's different. It's a different, it's a different attitude. Mm-hmm. It's a different adjustment when you're being held accountable not only from your coaches but the guys next to you. And I'm telling you, everybody out there, there are times in a football season, there's times in a football game. And there's times in a football series that you just can't do it for you. It's too hard, and it sucks, and you're tired, and you're exhausted, and you're like, listen, I can't do it. And you look over, and you see, you know, sweat pouring off the head of a Dave Zott, or you see sweat, you know, blood trickling out of the elbow or the hands of a Will Shields. Or you look over, and you look in the eyes of a Joe Montana or a Rich Gannon or you know, a Steve DeBerg, and he said, man, I got to do it for these guys. And it's the same thing in a summer workout. It's all the same thing. You train your mind. Your mind controls your body. And if you can't get yourself to that point where, you know, you're out there doing it, and you're getting to that point where you're tired and you just don't want to do it anymore, and you do it for your teammates. That's the one thing, and I know people, you do it for your teammates because you can't do it for yourself. It sucks that bad. I'm just telling you, it really does.
Does that motivation impact it at all by how long you've been with those guys? If you've been somewhere with 10 years, you look across the guy, you know, the talked about Zott and Shields. Those are the guys you played with for years. Was it that same feeling in 1990 that you had in 97 in that regard?
You know, and Sren's going to laugh at this because he always laughs when I try to make comparisons. But, you know,
they're usually asinine.
You two right here, you guys, I mean, sometimes you probably like, man, I don't feel good. I don't want to go work, but I'm not going to leave Curtis there on his own. I mean, you've done it. You've done it. Don't say you haven't.
We're going through our Rolodex of jokes we can use.
I don't even know where to start.
Here we go.
50 of them.
Here we go.
Like 50 of them.
But
they're all shots
is,
at each other.
But reality is that, you know, a lot of times you just, I mean, it's just like in a marriage. It's just like anything else.
Do we give off the vibe that, like, we give a crap about each other? Because I think you're reading something really wrong.
You guys have been doing radio together way too long. Not
years.
To care about each other.
At the fact that we both immediately went, what's the funniest thing I can say right now? And also the fact that each of us set it up because I knew he was gonna have some smart ass thing to say to me.
That's why I was like, all right, here we go. Where's it gonna go now? How red is my face gonna get?
We both have the exact same thought, and we also both do the other person have the exact same thought.
Yes.
All I can picture is Saran. This is one of my favorite lines from a movie about the financial crash. This guy was complaining about going into work, and this is exactly what Saran's line would be. This guy's griping, and a CEO replies to him, "You're not coming out of a Higgins boat on Omaha Beach."
Yeah, right.
That would be Saran's reply.
But to Tim's point, maybe it's work ethic that was instilled in me by my mom. I suppose there is probably. I probably don't consciously think I can't let Curtis down, or I can't let Adam down, or I can't let 810 down. I mean, I do a job that, which I think is true of you playing football and coaching football. People are paying attention. Like, I don't want to do a crappy job. Yeah, I don't want some guy in his car to be like, "Well, this sucks." Yeah. Right? There's a little pressure on, like, "Well, that's the worst thing I've ever heard," or "That's dumb." But I think there is an element of, you know, like you can't. You once told the thing about, was it Lou Holtz or who was like, you know, you don't practice one time.
That's right. Yeah.
You know, like I always tell people, look, in this job.
Would you like me to go through that for everybody?
Yeah.
Lou Holtz used to say, "If you don't practice one day, you know it. If you don't practice 2 days, the coach knows it. If you don't practice 3 days, everybody knows it. So you better get your ass out there on the field and compete. Because if you're out there and you're not working hard, you're going to know it. And then your teammates are going to know it. And then everybody's going to know it. And then your ass is going to be standing next to me."
I love the closeout's perfect.
So, like, yesterday's show, full disclosure, like, I got to my house yesterday morning at 3:45 in the morning, right? Like, with the family, and after being gone and doing nothing over the weekend. And
well,
so,
how did Brooke do in her deal, by the way?
She finished second. Thank you very much.
Oh.
Yeah,
okay.
Thank you very much. And when the
Of course, I texted him, "Good luck for the Braille thing," and then it automatically corrected to Brazil. And he goes, "What are you talking about, Brazil?" Of course, he's got to be just a jackass to me, even on text messages. But I digress.
By the way, I think he did say that. "Good luck with the Braille thing."
No,
and I was like, "Yeah." But really,
what I got on TV was,
"Good luck with the Brazil thing." I don't know, like, am I getting wax?
And then right after, I'm like, Braille. I'm like, "Oh, no, here we go." I knew it was coming. It wasn't like, "Hey, thanks a lot, man. I really appreciate that. It was really nice of you to say." It was basically like, "Brazil?
By the way, I will just point out one thing that I always find interesting is, like, Apple is by far the best company to work with for visually impaired people, and yet the word Braille still autocorrects to Brazil. I know it happens to everybody. Like, they're good at it. They pay attention to it. They try to make things accessible, and they still autocorrect the word Braille to Brazil. But yes, by the way,
I've typed the word duck more than you'd ever.
Oh yeah, me too.
Imagine.
But I got that, and I showed it. I can't remember if it was to my youngest daughter or my wife. And I'm like, "Watch this. Watch what I'm going to tell Timmy."
Yeah.
And I was trying to get it in there before you could autocorrect it so fast. I don't know what's up with this Brazil thing. I was so happy. I was so mad
that I was like, "God, now you know what? It's just,
why can't there be a delete function?"
I know.
I was just so happy. I was so happy. I was like, "Oh God, let me get this in real quick." I might even have been at the airport messing with security, and I was like, "No, I gotta get Tim back."
So 3:45. What took you so long to get home? The heck was going on?
Well, we were taking it was supposed to be a 6:40 departure, which is 8:40 here, which was going to get us in at 11:30.
Right.
And then Gervetta's the one who told me there were over 700 flights canceled on Sunday.
It's a mess.
So we weren't canceled. But we ended up being late. They never did tell us why we were late.
They don't tell you.
Curtis goes, "Are you going to go up and ask?" I'm like, "I had words." I said this yesterday. I think the TSA people are great. I really do. 99% of them are awesome. I ran into the 1% in LA, barking at us, yelling at us. I mean, you mentioned, trying to get a family of four, two kids, one of which is visually impaired, through the security is enough of a challenge. Without having some jackass shouting at us and then jamming other people in between us, trying to get over here. There's a free thing over there. Like, just back off. Give us our one little section. You know how many devices I got to take out of my daughter's bag to get through? And I started getting upset. And then, of course, my wife gets upset at me, right? Uh-huh. Like, don't you say anything. I'm like,
It's probably smart.
So then he goes
last
to me.
Last thing you know is it would be in the basement of the LAX.
Yeah, right? Getting roughed up. Curtis goes, well, did you ask why it's late? I'm like, no. I mean, I didn't. You think going up and getting some snotty response from someone at the airlines about, you know, why it's none of my business? Why, like, I'm not even going to bother. I've had all my challenges for the day. Anyway, I don't know. We didn't take off till like after 10 LA time. And so, then land and get in anyway. But so the point being, come seven stories backwards, that was a day I couldn't put in the time that I would normally put in. But we did a good show because Adam and Curtis are good at what they do. We had some things kind of prepped, ready for it. But if we did the show like that every day, it would suck.
Yeah.
Right? You can get away with it once. But I always remember that, you using that phrase, that's kind of how I view, like, hey, if we have to travel around, you know, we're going to the Super Bowl.
So you knew it. You knew it.
I knew it.
I mean, you thought, yeah, it was a good show.
I knew it. I knew where we
today,
cut corners.
Our coach knows it.
Yeah, we're telling you.
Today, coach knows it. But now everybody knows it.
Yeah. But I knew.
Sorry, everybody.
But I also think of it as kind of like when your legs were shot and you know the techniques and the ways that you can kind of comp. Like, there's an experience. I've had to do it with all the times we have to travel for it. But I know, okay, this is the day. This is how we have to do this show today.
Right.
Because we don't have the normal amount of time to get everything together. But then there also comes a time where it's like, no. Now the back shot too, and you're out of the league. It's time to retire.
It's time to go.
Right? Yeah. So I do get that. Now, wait a minute. So that point was, I forgot where we go. Oh, Orlando Brown.
Yeah.
So now take it all the way back to Orlando Brown. So, yes, I'm terrified that he's going to come in out of shape, because you're talking about a player that, to me, is not at risk from a sense that he's going to get in trouble, but he is at risk in the sense that he didn't prep the combine. Like, he blew off the combine. Like, I can't imagine anybody in today's day and age. Like, if you blew off the combine when you were coming out, the NFL combine wasn't a week and a half event on NFL Network and 700 websites dedicated to it. It was kind of becoming a thing, maybe. But, like, if you play football, you can't help but know how important the combine is.
Right.
And he blew that off 5 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
Why would we think that he's going to nail it in an offseason that he's not under the eye of the coaches? Yeah, I'm terrified.
He hired a trainer who's never been a trainer, too. Right? He hired a trainer who was in an agent.
He bonded with over their love of a genre of movies.
Over there, yes.
Yeah, that will.
The love of the color blue.
You know what? His statement, like, about the agent process, to me proves how some of you guys, Tim, you ball players, because we have to stand there and hold a microphone and act like whatever you're saying is legitimate, and we can't go in your face or, well, that's dumb, right? Like, we can't heckle what you're saying. You start to think that everything you say is legit.
Yeah. No, I agree with you.
It'd be great if some of these guys would hear what we say as soon as we turn to walk away, because then they might stop saying some of the stupid things they say. But, like, I think he could use a dose of reality on the fact that he's a bright guy. He's not a dumb guy. But he's – because we can't laugh in his face. I chose an agent based – we bonded over diabetes.
Yeah, that was a strange comment. Very strange.
It's great
comment.
That you bonded over diabetes, but that being the reason for choosing your agent, those words should not come out of your mouth.
And it wasn't even – if I'm remembering this properly, it wasn't just that he hired the guy despite the fact that he hadn't handled a contract.
Because he had never handled an NFL contract, he wanted it.
Yeah.
That doesn't come out of your mouth.
No.
What you say is, what a brilliant legal mind. This guy's done contract law for all these years. He's the best in his field for this. Or you don't just say it. Here's my new guy. I'm here to talk about football.
Right.
What's up?
Yeah.
Like, Tom Brady gets that part.
I'm still gobsmacked.
There's a lot of guys.
Patrick Mahomes gets that part.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Tim Grunhard,
in what
got that
area
part.
Of life have you ever made a major decision on someone helping you based on the fact that they hadn't done the job you were going to ask them to do?
You know, it seems
Is
like...
Is there any part of your life where you thought inexperience was a plus?
And I don't understand how so many professional football players get taken advantage of financially. Maybe it's giving their wealth to people who have never done anything with money ever before. Just a thought.
Just spitballing here. Just putting nouns and verbs together.
My cousin's got this great idea.
And just ask a certain wide receiver who played with the Chiefs in Atlanta.
Andre Rison.
Yeah. Do not replace your marble bathtub with a plastic one. That'll cost you.
Wow. That's fantastic. We can't go anywhere from there, can we?
No, we'll take a break. More with Grunhard next. You want to go, Tim?
No.
Okay, good.
All right, the Joe's Kansas City Barbecue burnt end of the hour answer. John Elway.
You know what this is?
I do.
What is it?
He told me this has got to be TLC. I was
TLC.
Don't go chasing waterfalls.
Or burning stuff in my tub.
Don't go burning my house down.
Put the shoes in the bathtub with kerosene.
We can laugh about it now.
Yeah.
You know, it's been a while. Wasn't our house. Yeah. You know, we can laugh about it now.
Too soon?
Yeah,
Andre laughs about it now. He didn't laugh.
Does
about
he?
It. He wasn't very happy with it. You know, he was riding his motorcycle, and all these fire trucks are flying by him. And all of a sudden, that's a little
that's
strange.
About.
And then there was some smoke on their eyes, and he's like, oh, God. Oh, God.
What did she do?
Yeah, oh, God.
Was he a good guy?
Yeah, he was a good guy.
Good teammate? He seems like a good guy.
Yeah, he's a good guy. He's a little...
A little high maintenance at times. Yeah, okay.
But a good guy. Really good guy.
Yeah, that's good to know.
Got an autograph from him at Sears once when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Sounds like
he
a Grunhard.
Sears?
I signed it.
It was a signing event at Sears. He wasn't shopping.
I had one at Venture. You guys remember the Venture?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
My place
Venture off of Blue Ridge,
Blue Ridge
Boulevard.
I think there were at least half a dozen times my mom was afraid I was abducted from the toy section of Venture. You go there,
95th
think, I'm going to the toys, Mom.
Yep.
Where are you? Where
did you go? Bannister and the Caddy Corner from where the old Bannister Mall was.
Metcalf and 95th.
Venture and an A&P. Yeah. Side by side, and you could access one through the other. Through the little,
and then,
I spent many Saturdays as a kid.
When they added Marshalls right next door at that one, I mean, and I think they had a hot dog stand. I mean, that's an all-day
Orange
event.
Julius there, maybe it would have been
an
good.
All-day event right there, yeah.
All right, the Joe's Kansas City Barbecue burnt end of the hour. Answer, John Elway, 62 today. Against what team did he have his best record?
Oh,
winning percentage.
I would have to say the Chiefs.
No. You guys beat him plenty.
Beat him a lot at Arrowhead.
His best winning percentage? No way.
I remember the guys telling me all the time that we never win in Denver.
He was seven. You
kicked their ass in the snow in 95
in
Denver.
94.
And then
beat him again in 95.
Well, we beat him with the Montana Monday night game was like the first time that we beat him there in a long time.
You beat him in 95.
95
in the snow.
Yeah.
21-7.
Yeah.
17-12 lifetime against the Chiefs.
So. The Raiders then.
Raiders were 13-15.
Too many.
Raiders are the only AFC West team that had a winning record.
Yeah, you're right.
Is it an NFC team that he's like 3 or 4-0?
10 games all time, unbeaten.
Wow.
I don't know. Were the Jets? The Jets were terrible. I'll try the Jets.
He was
Bills
3-2 lifetime against the Jets.
Bills.
He was 4-3 against the Bills.
Dolphins were good then.
Yeah.
Pats weren't any good.
10-0 against the New England Patriots.
Nailed it. Put me down for a nailing.
7-0 against the Bengals. Those are the two teams he played the most without losing.
You guys see the
10-0.
The Bengals are one of these stupid preseason deals that said that the
Hard Knocks.
I don't even know where I saw it. The Bengals were 2, and the Bills were 1. Bengals 2, Chiefs 3.
That's an outlier. Almost no one nationally feels good about the Bengals this year.
I know.
They did beat the Chiefs twice last year.
I'm not saying the Chiefs, you know, have their number or anything, but I'm saying I just don't think they're that good.
The wrong number.
That's right.
Directory assistance.
867-5309.
Joe's Kansas City is very good.
Yes, it is.
JoesKC.com. You can get it tonight, 47th Mission. I think that's probably your home Joe's.
That's my home Joe's.
119th and Strangline, 117th and Row is my home Joe's. And, of course, the Kansas City Barbecue Store there across the parking lot from the Joe's in Olathe at 119th and Strangline Road. Joe's Kansas City Barbecue, best around anywhere. Send it anywhere in the country at that website, joeskc.com as well. And, of course, you can get some Joe's tonight. Order online or with their app. It's a great way to get you some Joe's Kansas City Barbecue. By the way, an update, Serena Williams gone. First round exit from Wimbledon. She loses the third set tiebreaker, 7-6.
She looked tired in the first game.
First set. I mean, it's like she's 40.
Yeah. I mean, good for her for trying, but wow.
Yeah.
You know.
23 may be it. Number 24 may not be in the cards.
No.
May not be in the cards. I mean,
she just looks tired and like slow.
Tremendous athlete. I'm not saying she's fat, but because she's not, far be it from me to call anybody fat, but she is a large athlete. She is a big, strong athlete.
And
that powers has always served her well, but it is not the body type to play well into your 40s. And when you start losing your stamina, it's not the body type to be able to play a 2-week tournament, you know?
Yeah, she knows.
I think you can tell the look on her face is like,
she knows.
It ain't happening. No. It ain't happening. So
she was dragging herself around out there today.
7-5, 1-6, 7-6, the final.
Yeah. What was it? What was the
7-5, 1-6, 7-6?
7-6 was
and
the tiebreak.
10-7 in the tiebreak.
10-7 was the tiebreak. Yeah, I thought it got beyond 7. So Serena Williams will not win her 24th Grand Slam event. So, but Coco Gauff did advance today. So one of the Americans. I saw a number of other Americans. We're only in the first round, so there's a long way to go. Mm-hmm. Tim Grunhardt is with us as we talk some tennis, as we always like to do. Play a lot of tennis, Tim. And shorts that are too short. That's what I heard the complaint was at the country club that you belong to. Grunhardt out here in two short shorts playing tennis.
Yeah,
too short. Mm-hmm.
And the cutoff, thin. Not apparently the cutoff T-shirt.
Cutoff jeans.
Cutoff golf shirt, tennis shirt.
With you,
yeah, that's shorts, a problem.
Little half shirt.
Have you guys got into pickleball? Have you tried this pickleball thing?
I like the...
People are like Grunhardt. The pickleball thing. Like it's something new.
Chicken and pickle?
Chicken and pickle.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah, I like
chicken and pickle. What I do is I eat the chicken and drink the Coronas and watch other people play pickleball. I find that entertaining.
You know, I've been asked many, many times with different people, hey, you want to go play pickleball? And I'm like, you know what? I just don't. I don't.
Another sign that you're not in shape is when you're like, I'm not in shape for pickleball.
I'm just, you know, take one wrong move and blow a knee out or hurt my artificial knee or, you know. And I said, you know, I just don't need it.
It's like the biography.
Play golf, you know.
Yeah.
I really don't know anything other athletic that I do.
Well, you work out. You're working out all the time.
That's about it.
We've covered your personal trainer, Rich Boy.
Rich Boy.
Who is it? Artie Lang? Mm. Who wrote his, you know what his autobiography was called?
Mm-mm.
Too Fat to Fish.
Do you know the story behind that, Sirin?
Yeah, he was out fishing and he got like, I can't remember what it was. He got worn out or.
He told his mom, he said, I'm going fishing with my friend. And his mom yelled at him, you are too fat to fish.
You know it's bad when you're too fat to fish.
Too fat to fish.
You know, like, there's that old song. It's what it's when the guys in the bar. It's too cold to golf or too cold at home or something. It's too hot to fish, too hot to golf, and too cold at home.
Oh.
I've been there before.
Sounds like a country song.
Yeah, I've been there before.
Sounds like a Toby Keith song.
Give me my red cup and pour me beer.
You know, when that low, it doesn't happen as much as it used to with me, but when that low, that cold front is coming through the house, it's a bad deal.
Yeah. By the way, are you going to the Kenny Chesney concert?
No.
You like the country music.
I
heard you talking on Crunch Time when I was driving.
I love Kenny Chesney. I love country music. I don't love being in a crowd with 90,000 people in the middle of a summer day. No.
Mm-hmm.
That's my only objection.
Nope.
Are they doing that in the afternoon?
I don't know.
So it wouldn't technically be in the middle of a summer day, would it?
Well, it's going to be hot. It's going to be hot.
And probably.
Yeah so probably. No.
So, like, if he comes in April, maybe.
If he was doing a little, over at Power and Light in the
July.
that little stage out there where maybe the only 500 room. People could fit in, then maybe I'd go. But.
If only your name was hanging somewhere in the stadium he was performing, maybe you could get, like, a suite or something.
Yeah, maybe you could get, like, an air-conditioned ticket.
You know, Adam, I probably could, but, you know, that's just not my style. You know what? I could be a very demanding person. I'd probably get what I want.
Would it make
I got that kind of pull.
I think what Adam's.
I just don't do it.
I think what Dravet is getting at is, you know, he knows that that's not your style, but would it be your style to get him, say, four seats in an air conditioned suite, you know, have that kind of pull? Do you have that kind of pull, is what I think he's getting at. He dares you.
Dares
to get him four freebies
double,
in a suite.
Double dog dare?
Maybe.
He's got three opening acts. The show begins at 5 o'clock, so by the time he hits the stage, it's going to be 9:30.
Yeah,
the sun will be down. It'll be nice.
It'll be very nice. Very pleasant.
80,000 well-lubed individuals.
Very pleasant.
That will be an issue, but the weather will be.
Yeah.
And I'm not a huge country music fan by any stretch, but that dude puts on a show.
Yeah, I've seen him in concert.
And his, the thing about guys
Starlight,
like that is...
Not Starlight, the other thing,
they have the money and the bands A lot of that stuff, it's not just about the guy. It's about the band playing behind him.
Yeah.
They're all the best.
Good, really?
Those guys get the best studio musicians, and the shows are phenomenal. He's the one guy I would... One country music
tickets
play,
for less.com, Curtis.
I would pay
so kind of like
to
this show.
Play.
I mean, Serena is a star, but really the band around him
it's
is
the
what
band
makes
around.
It.
That's right. That's right.
But you the know. Thing is, it's the fact that he's Kenny Chesney. He can get those guys. Those guys are playing for schlubs.
And he's Serena Petro. He can get those guys. Right. Look at he found Adam. I mean, I don't know where you found this guy.
Yeah, you know.
I mean, you know, all of a sudden he was here and he's like superstar.
He was third on America's Got Talent last season. If you
what was he doing?
Serena and I bonded on over diabetes, and he decided.
How many ping pongs did you put in your mouth for your America's Got Talent?
That is awful.
I want to. You were talking about something. I had it here on my list of things to discuss. You're talking about. I'm right here. It's number one.
All right.
I was going to go there when you brought it up, but then you went immediately. You thought you had a cunning segue into
from
Orlando
fatties
Brown.
To fat.
Yeah. You were talking about what you got. You know, the Miege practices and everything that you're working with. So. I was in L.A. last weekend, and we were on the campus at USC. Mm-hmm. And we were taking a walk around the campus, you know, fatty trying to be not so fatty, and go by the USC. I don't expect everyone to know how the campus works, but it's a very compact campus. You've probably been on it. I know you've been in the Coliseum, which is right next door.
I have
but
been on campus.
Have you? Okay, so that practice field is walled in by everything. The aquatic center's on one side, and then like a all buildings all around it, and they have a wall around it so nobody can see in
with the big green tarp
probably. And so they have this one little door, and we're walking by, and we've been there a number of times, and so I knew what it was, where we were, and just all kinds of people are going in, and I'm like, well,
let's just walk
what the hell
in.
Let's walk in, let's act like we own the place. Walked into they have so their practice field has a main field. And then at the end of that main field are two 50-yard fields, two half fields, running perpendicular. So they've got, you know, the half field's perpendicular and then the main field. And then across the street and kind of catty corner is the track and field setup. So on the track and field, they painted it out for football. And they had two 50-yard fields. Mm-hmm. And then they have four 50-yard fields in the main practice area. You know, they start at the 50 and go in. There was a 14-team invitation-only 7-on-7 football tournament.
Sure.
And it was Mater Dei and Chaminade College Prep. It's like all the big L.A. or kind of more than L.A. because there were some that came from
California,
I think
Arizona,
Mater Dei
in
San Diego as well, or Carlsbad. There were two Mater Deis.
So
there.
Mostly California schools.
I think they were all California, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
So
it's huge now. Kansas City has
was blown away. Like, I've been to AAU basketball, and I know how big that is. This is just as big.
Yeah, oh yeah.
And like, so we were talking with Rico over there. He played quarterback here in town at high school. I said, "Did you guys have these 7-on-7s?" He played at Rutgers, so he didn't. You know, it was a good program.
Did he play with Elite? Did you play with Elite here in Kansas City?
Get over there. Get to a mic. Did he get him? No, he's just shaking his head.
No, he didn't.
No,
okay.
That's why he's sitting here now. Had he, maybe he'd be something. Instead, he's here with us. No, he was a fine player, I'm sure.
Yeah, he was a good player.
But I was like, he and I were talking about it yesterday. I was like, did you have any of those camps? Or anything? He said, we had like one. I was talking to parents there. I just, you know me. I'll start babbling with anybody. And I'm talking with folks, and I'm like, you know, do you do this? You know, does this go on every week? He goes, well, not here.
Yeah,
somewhere,
all over. Yeah.
But somewhere, yeah, every week we're at a tournament. I'm like, good Lord.
Well, yeah, I'm not sure how many teams there are in the metro area. I know of one or two, but they travel. I mean, they travel
but these
all
are
over
their
them,
high schools.
The region. Yeah, this high school, yeah.
No. But the high schools,
the
they were
high
playing
schools
as
itself.
The high schools. Oh, yeah. And I'm like, what are the rules in California if that's – and I said, so do they play? And he said, yeah, every week they're playing. I was talking to this one parent from – in fact, the quarterback for Rancho Cucamonga, they just call him Rancho, is a kid named C.J. Tiller. He's committed to Boise.
Right.
And so I was watching him. He's got a little sidearm sling to him. And he was telling me, he's like, this kid's going to USC. The quarterback's going to Boise. And he was pointing out, well, these kids – but it was their high school, and they're traveling around. Like, no wonder – I mean, the population, yes, obviously in Florida, Texas, and California. But it's a year-round sport.
Oh, absolutely.
In those states.
There's no doubt.
And it was high-level stuff. You know, everybody with their, and I know guys have armbands here too, but they were calling a play and everybody knew what. Well, I would hope so. If you played 10 weeks of this 7-on-7, I mean, they get to practice, and at least all the skill position guys, they know everything because they've run 7 million patterns and plays. And like, of course, they're going to be good.
I'm not sure about California. I think California does, but like in the state of Texas, they have spring ball. It's called the athletic period. That's during the day, so it's like third period for an hour. They go out and
practice. It's like their gym class.
Yeah.
They do that instead of gym class.
Instead of gym class, they have their athletic period. So if you're a football player, that's when you wanted to go. When I was recruiting with Kansas, go down to Texas, you wouldn't go after school because, you know, you'd go during the athletic period, in the spring, and that's where they'd be out there, you know, doing their workouts, and then they'd be on the field doing individual periods, and they'd be in pads. I mean, it was spring ball,
but
it is amazing.
Well, yeah, I was blown away. So we left, then we came. Me and my youngest daughter came back, and she was like, "Dad, let's go watch more of the." I'm like, "Yeah, great, let's go."
That's awesome.
You know, mom was pissed because she wanted to go to Target, and she said, "No, I want to go with dad to watch the football." But it was, I mean, we loved it. We had a ball because we were standing right on the sidelines and, you know, getting out of the way.
How athletic are some of those kids?
Oh, my Lord. I mean, just watching the California talent and the kids that were out there. And, you know, there are some kids that you're like, well, you ain't going anywhere.
Right.
TJ Houshmandzadeh was on the sideline. I know he's got a daughter.
What about Johnson,
Chad Johnson?
Yeah. Was his team there?
I didn't see him.
Yeah.
Because this, and maybe there's an AAU version and a high school version. Mm-hmm. These were all high school, and all their high school coaches were with them.
He's a coach. I'm trying to.
But you know what I thought? USC coaches were running things. So, I mean, talk about a chance. I mean, you get to pick the 14 best schools of skill position and, you know, DBs and everything in your area and bring them in and then sit there and watch that. I mean,
did you see the head coach out there?
My daughter thinks she saw Lincoln Riley.
Yeah, I couldn't think it was.
I did not. I kept looking for him up on where their little stand was to see. I figured he'd probably be up there checking somebody out or checking. Maybe he was there earlier. Maybe he was around. I don't think so. But the whole USC football staff was all over that thing watching everything
that was
going on.
I'm sure he was there. Absolutely was there.
Yeah, he might have been in the air-conditioned part looking out the
Or, you know, a lot of times, too, that, I mean, they're kind of buzzing around talking to the high school coaches and stuff and trying to get – the inside info on certain guys and listen, they're already recruiting and looking at the freshmen and sophomores. I mean, they're that far.
Right? Oh,
the juniors
for sure.
And seniors are already cooked.
I would think he would be all over this, being it's his first year in California and doing everything. But you know what athletic kids and diving catches and big interceptions and it was really impressive the athleticism. But I was really blown away by like the quarterbacks. I'd look at them and I'm like, you know, I'm used to standing there. Talking to Patrick Mahomes, who's a thick guy, and I'd see these kids. And I'm like, look at this skinny guy, you know, because they're 16, 16 years old, and I'm used to, you know, and Chad Henne's a big guy. I mean, quarterbacks in the NFL are big, and I'd see these kids, and I'm like, God, the quarterbacks look so skinny. Yeah. Some of the other kids were kind of thin, but there are other ones where you're like, good Lord, that looks like a man. But watching them sling it. I mean, good Lord. Like, I'd see this skinny kid, just lots of, they all have hair. You can find the quarterback by all the hair. But the Tiller kid, look in there at Rico, flowing mane of hair. But, like, this Tiller kid was snapping it off of these sidearms, and, I mean, they're missing the ball 40 yards. Yeah. I was blown away by the arm talent of these kids. Yeah. It was amazing.
Yeah, you know, one time I brought Justin McKay down from Bishop Miege down to Florida. They had like a Friday Night Lights deal, and it was all these Florida kids. And Justin was a man amongst boys here in Kansas and Missouri. He was just another Joe down there. I mean, it's unbelievable talent that's around a lot of these different states. Not saying that he couldn't compete and everything else, but
he could tell
the difference.
He popped off the screen here.
Yeah.
He
was just like another
there's
guy.
Lots of hims
there's
a down lot there.
Of hims
down there. I'll take a break more with Tim Grunhardt next. Listen, my guys at Applause Custom Sight and Sound are absolutely the best. Trust me, they're absolutely the best when it comes to in-home theaters, smart home technology. If you're looking to enhance your life with simple, sophisticated control, music, video, lights, climate, even more, all from the touchscreen of your smartphone, call Applause Custom Sight and Sound today. 913-498-1183. That's 913-498-1183. In-home consultations, or you can go to their showroom. You can do either. Check them out on the web at applausetheater.com. They've been in business for about 20 years in an industry that most companies don't last to. Why? They build it right. Build it right the first time. I'm going to tell you, it's likely they will not be the cheapest bid that you can get. But by building it right, by using the right equipment, the equipment that will last, it means that when it comes time to add on or you change your mind, you want something different or more, or technology evolves, Applause Custom Sight and Sound can do it fast and easy. I know that's one of the things that jumped out at me. Remember when the Roku came around, the Apple TV? I had no idea what it was, but started hearing about it. Like, okay, hey, I want to do this. Well, what's it going to be, guys? Like, what am I looking at? They said, yeah, no big deal. You can either pick them up and we'll install them, or we even got them. You can get them from us and we'll hook it into the system. You're all set. I said, we don't have to rewire anything. I said, no, you're all set. We just added on. We got it. We built the system ready to add devices like this to it. That's Applause Custom Sight and Sound. They've been doing this for a couple of decades. They do it better than anyone. Whether you're building new, renovating, or your home is already done, or your business is already done, or you're renovating, whatever it is, it doesn't matter. They can build it. They're not going to tear your house apart. That's the biggest thing I get. Well, I would call them, but I don't want my house all torn up. They don't. It's amazing how they can fish whatever wires are necessary all throughout your house without cutting anything in the walls or ceiling. Surround sound, perfect. Yep, you bet you can do that. Rocket fast Wi-Fi. Applause does that as well. It's Applause Custom Sight and Sound. Check them out online at applausetheater.com or call 913-498-1183. Online again, it's applausetheater.com. By our friends at CBD, American Shaman. Tim, I don't know if you heard, but life is better with a feather.
It is better with the feather.
By the tip of the cap to the topical cream, helping my fat foot, I called it. right? And you walk a bunch and you're overweight and you start wearing your feet out, did wonders for me. So thanks
when
to our
friends.
When
you were roaming the sidelines scouting for...
No, I got the foot better several weeks ago, but
I did my walks at USC.
Yeah, I did what I could. I did not get a walk in San Diego. That didn't happen. You know, it's only so much a man can
do. It's only so much you can do.
So, Tim, the biggest fear right now for coaches is that guys are going to get into trouble and get fat right now, right?
Yep. No doubt.
That's it.
That's it. I mean,
concern.
That's what you're worried about. You're worried about, yeah, well, you don't want a guy to get hurt themselves, you know, blow a couple fingers off of fireworks over the 4th of July, like certain defensive ends.
And Pierre Paul is still out there in free agency, by the way. And I keep wondering, are the Chiefs going to kick the tire on that?
There was also when I was perusing.
Sheldon Richardson's still out there.
I was perusing around, and they're talking about maybe, you know, will the Chiefs make a trade before camp or for maybe a third or fourth rounder since they have those picks? And, you know, for a defensive end, there was like two or three defensive ends that were brought up and then one wide receiver. I don't think that they're going to be trading anybody. I just don't know if that's going to happen. But who knows? I mean, if they were going to go after everybody, maybe a defensive end, it wouldn't break my heart.
Is defensive end a spot that you can get a lot better at? I mean, like, how much hope should we have that Josh Kando, you know, in year two is going to suddenly emerge? I mean... Because that would be the best thing for the Chiefs.
See, your rookie year is an outlier. I mean, it's hard as a rookie to go in there and compete and to be productive. Everybody thinks they can get away, and there's certain freak athletes that could do that. But this is a year. 2 and 3, and if he can't do it, then it was a waste. But this is a big year for him. This is a big year for a lot of those younger guys that they got to step up.
Yeah, it would be nice to see the depth.
Oh, how about the Chiefs real quick? I know we only got a couple seconds. They're ranked 9th in linebacker position. That's pretty good for a bunch of young guys.
It's pretty good, and I think it might be underrating him, to be honest with you.
It may be a top five.
Yeah, I think the linebacker's going to be really good.
I do,
it's
too.
It's going to be a huge strength for the team.
Too.
They got a lot of numbers to throw at the secondary.
Hey, you know what? I think we did a hell of a job here for nothing going on at Arrowhead Stadium. Great job, Seren.
Super effort, Tim.
You're great.
I'm proud of you.
You know what? You're the Kenny Chesney of Kansas City radio.
All right, who's the only player to play in 3 straight World Series for 3 different teams? Brought to you by Good Sense.